So we just wanted to start off by giving some background on Quaker Social Change Ministry. And Lucy is going to talk about kind of Quaker Social Change Ministry as it developed and where it came from up until the pilot year. And then I'll talk a little bit about the pilot year to the present.
Yeah, so it's great to hear all of you on the call. It's very exciting to have so many people from around the country. So the interest in this that I think is really a vital model for how we can reinvigorate and re-enliven our spiritual and our social justice witness in meetings. So the way that this came to us is Jen Piper, who's from is the interfaith organizer out of our Denver office, and she presented with she co-presented at the corporation meeting a couple years ago, and she talked about these Unitarian congregations that were using a model to bring together mystics and activists and how it was creating more sustainable and more focused activism. And she passed along some of the materials that she presented some of the materials at the workshop that she did at the corporation meeting and passed those along to us. And we, this is before Greg was on AFSC staff, and we started to engage, Madeline Schaefer and I started to engage in conversations with her and with the Unitarian ministers that were the creators of this model. And what we had found was that we had created a lot of materials, like five things you can do, and a lot of resource materials of how to do activism that we had done in collaboration with program staff, and a lot of information, and we kind of assumed that people, that meetings would know how to use that information and implement it. And what we found was that there are amazing organizers in meetings, but for the most part, the sort of model of activism is individuals having their meetings and then sometimes getting the, and you know, certainly there are minutes that are passed and getting the congregation to support that ministry. And that collective social justice work on a specific issue that was spirit-grounded was less common, even though that's what I think of as a core part of our spiritual and religious legacy and a core part of what we mean when we talk about being Quakers. And so we were curious about this model, and it actually came out of Parker Palmer's Circles of Trust. So it had some Quaker origins that they had been steeped in learning his Circles of Trust, and that's kind of where some of the origination came. And they were really interested in figuring out how to companion those who are most impacted by injustice and focus on that, to partner with them to make some change. And so they really came up with this model. And then Greg and I went to Denver, and we met with them, and Kelly took us to a Unitarian congregation that was using the model, so we got to see a meeting in practice. And then they've been incredibly supportive as we've adopted it for the Quaker context, and Greg's built it out, and we've been doing this with their blessing and with their full support from the beginning. And this past year, as Greg said, we just finished a pilot year. We had five meetings very actively engaged in using the model, some more active, like Jeff Kissling's North Meadow Circle of Friends. And we learned a lot from that, and people who were engaged in it learned a lot. And so he's going to tell you about that.
Great, yeah. So we had this pilot year that just happened, and Jeff Kissling, who's on the line from North Meadow Friends Meeting, was a part of the pilot. Red Cedar Friends Meeting in Lansing, Michigan, Beacon Hill in Boston, Central Philadelphia Monthly Meeting in Philly, and Durham Monthly Meeting in North Carolina. And it was a really great experience. I think for everyone, people found the model very useful overall. We did a survey, and you know, 91% of the people who filled out the survey who participated in the pilot said they would recommend it to somebody else, and that were excited about it. And so, as we sort of went through the pilot year, we learned a lot, And we are really excited to see this take root and to share these tools, this model with friends. And, you know, I think one of the really powerful things about how this model works is it's really a model for the long haul. It's not something that sort of, you know, okay, well, let's just do, you know, this action or let's do this event or, you know, let's just, you know, pass this minute or something. It's really relationship focused, and it's really about building the relationships that are necessary to stay in it for the long haul, to avoid burnout, and also keeping spirit really at the center of the work, and allowing those things to really inform how we go about doing things. Because I think for us as friends, and you know, being a part of a faith community, you know, there is a lot of activism out there that's great, incredible work, and there's a lot of really great faith-based activism that's really great. And I think that for us as friends, you know, we are we have a lot to contribute, and we, you know, can find our place in the larger movement, which we're going to talk more about. So yeah, it was just a really great experience, and really excited to see how QSEM, you know, grows and evolves as it continues. And as Jeff Kissling on the phone, I think, can attest, it really has been a very transformative experience for North Meadow. Is there anything you want to share at all, Jeff, about your experience?
Well, yes, it was a very pretty powerful experience for our meeting. We generally have maybe 35 or 40 people on a given Sunday in on program meeting, and for our first Quaker Social Teams ministry meeting, half of those people showed up, and so it's really been nice too to have kind of a more of a whole meeting focused on issues. But it's been really useful on a lot of different levels for us, and we're pretty excited about it. Thanks.
Great, thanks, Jeff. So there's kind of a very kind of beautiful specific structure to the meetings for Quaker Social Change Ministry, and that's one of the powerful aspects of the model. And Lucy's going to go into that and talk a little bit about kind of what makes the meeting structure itself special in Quaker Social Change Ministry.
Yeah. I think it's very special. This is this first hour of the meetings is sort of the core, and it's a way to connect with each other, connect with spirit, connect with one's sort of vulnerability and the sort of struggles that we have as we're trying to do Quaker, as we're trying to do social change, as well as sort of form the both relational and spiritual foundation for the whole thing. And I don't know if you all saw, but recently Michelle Alexander has moved from her I think she was at Ohio State, has moved from her position there to Union Theological Seminary, and in her pieces that she's been writing about this, it has to do with understanding that there's this spiritual root underneath all of the racism that underlies mass incarceration, and that if we don't address that, we're not going to get as deep as we need to go. And so this is really about connecting with that spiritual element so that we can be very, very resilient and very powerful and very and connected to each other as we move forward. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the structure itself. So each meeting time, you start by centering, and you read a covenant. And the covenant is not a creed or what you believe at all. It's a set of agreements about what it is that you're striving for together as a community and in your work together. And we have in the manual several sample covenants. One of them is from Parker Palmer, and that you can draw from. And it's really to sort of set the tone and the stage for everything that you do together. It's basically, this is what we're up to, this is what we're striving for, this is what we're about. And a covenant is something that you work on early in the stage of forming, so that you really express to each other what you need from each other for the community to be really strong, for this to be a spiritual community. And then you agree to it, and it can always be changed. So you read it at the beginning of the meeting and reconnect with what it is that you're up to as the first thing. And then that's followed by centering worship and then some brief check-ins, so you're connecting with each other. And then that's followed by sharing a spiritual practice. And we interpret spiritual practice very broadly. And the way that we, the sort of guidelines that we set for that are something that you can all do together, and that gets you into a different kind of space, into a heart space, into rather than in a head space. So not just thinking about things, although you can use words, you can use poetry, but that really sort of takes you into a more spiritual space. So you could do guided meditation, you could do walking meditation, you could do art or guided art, you could do some nature activities, you could do chanting or singing, or if you're familiar with spiritual practices from other traditions and they've been given to you and you learn them, you could share those with each other as well. So it's really a time to sort of connect with each other, connect with spirit in a very intentional way. And though worship is certainly, I mean, silent worship is certainly a spiritual practice, it gives a sort of different flavor and different kind of modality to the spiritual part of this meeting. And then after that, there's a time for storytelling. And this is a time for sharing of the struggles as you work to, as you actually act. So it's, the hope is that a story is shared about an action or about preparing for an action or about the work and trying to work with the organization that you're working with. And when we were in Denver, I'm sure Jeff can share about this too, but when we were in Denver, we heard a story of a woman who was accompanying an immigrant woman, an undocumented woman, and really her own struggle of making sure that that woman was setting the agenda and that she wasn't imposing what she thought should happen on that woman. And sort of like telling the story and her impulses and then really like how she worked through that. And it was very enriching for the whole group. But you tell the story and then there's the group reflection on the story. So the story can sort of become part of the, I don't know, the sort of bread from which that group is drawing and the learning from which you're all drawing. And that I think is really, really powerful. And then there'll be worship at the end of business. And the intention is that is an hour long and sets the stage for the business part. And just like what we say in Quaker meeting, that if you have a lot of business, you should worship longer. This is sort of like really a lot of intentionality about setting that worship space and that connection space. And one of the groups that we work with, Central Philadelphia Monthly Meeting, it was, I think, pretty much the only, that was the aspect that they focused on in adopting the Quaker Social Change Ministry. And when Greg went and visited them, they testified to how much deeper their connections were with each other and how the whole energy of the group had changed. So it's a very powerful practice. So Greg is going to talk a little bit more about the history of Quaker activism and the role of the Quaker Social Change Ministry in furthering our work together as friends.
Great, yeah. So I think, you know, we as Quakers, you know, we're very, you know, aware and proud of our history of social justice and peace work, especially, you know, with the Underground Railroad and the, you know, anti-Vietnam War movement, peace movement. And I think one of the things that I found, anyway, growing up Quaker, was just kind of like how intimidating it felt to try to kind of live up to folks like John Woolman or Lucretia Mott or you know, some of the other just great, you know, Quakers of history that have done so many great things. And, you know, what's been really interesting for me being at AFSC is learning about kind of how AFSC kind of understood itself. And as I think probably a lot of friends are aware, you know, earlier in its life, you know, it really saw its work in terms of relief work. You know, doing a lot of relief work around World War I, World War II, and then also, you know, in the United States, kind of having that relief model for, you know, pretty much the first half of its existence. And then as AFSC kind of, I think, followed continuing revelation, you know, started to kind of understand the necessity to follow the lead of the communities that we were working in. And also to address, as we say, the root causes of injustice and war in the world. And so, you know, getting at those root causes means, you know, a lot of the movements that we see going on right now, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement and with trying to address, you know, immigrant rights and mass incarceration and a lot of the issues that AFSC is working on right now. And so I think for us as friends, I think we're at an interesting time where I think that, you know, as Lucy mentioned, I think for a lot of us, you know, our social change or social justice work often is maybe our own passion, and maybe we can get a few folks on board, but it's sort of become hard to have a kind of collective witness at the monthly meeting level for a lot of folks, not everybody. There's a lot of great corporate witness out there, but I think that we've found that there's a number of folks that have kind of been struggling to figure out, how do we do this? How can we do this? And so, you know, I think for us, you know, when we looked at this model and as we kind of developed it for friends, you know, we really wanted to kind of share how, you know, the lessons that AFSC has learned and how we go about doing our work, and wanted to encourage friends to do work along with us and to kind of learn the lessons that we've learned throughout our history. And so that's kind of the difference here is I think that, you know, we are I think we're often drawn to, for a variety of reasons, thinking about ourselves as leaders, and we do have a distinct voice that's really valuable. But as far as being a part of social justice movements, especially the various racial justice movements that AFSC is working on, we're really talking about, you know, how can we become a part of the movement that is already existing, you know, especially at a local level. And so, what this model really encourages folks to do is to look around at where they are. You know, what are the organizations where near your monthly meeting that are working on the issue, an issue that is really core to your concern at this moment in time, whether it be mass incarceration or immigrant rights or racial justice, more broadly speaking. And if you're near an AFSC office, it's great to hear a lot of folks from Pima. It's great to hear a lot of folks in the Chicago area. We're really excited about having this model be a way that Quaker meetings that are near AFSC program offices can accompany and work with those offices in a way that is going to be beneficial to everybody and just kind of provide a structure, more of a framework. And so we're really excited about that, really excited to get a lot of meetings accompanying AFSC program offices. But if you don't have an AFSC program office near where you are and you want to work on one of the AFSC key issues along with us, then what we're encouraging folks to do is to do work in the way that we try to do work. And so that would mean, and we try to guide people through this process with the model, really getting a sense of, you know, what are the organizations where you are? What are the coalitions? Are there any other faith-based organizations that are working on the issue that you want to work on? And you really want to try to find an organization that really speaks to you as a group and is led by the people most impacted by the issue that you're working on. So if you want to work on mass incarceration where you are, it's great to try to find an organization that's led by returning citizens, people who are formerly incarcerated. Or, you know, if you want to do work for immigrant rights, you know, just try to find an organization that's being led by the immigrant community near where you are. And so it's also going to really depend on who you are as a group. You know, I think, you know, basically, you know, we've really put a lot of emphasis on accompaniment, companioning, followership. And as we've kind of developed in the program over the course of the year and come to get, you know, feedback and get a sense of kind of, you know, the different ways that folks relate to things, you know, for some people, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in the room, maybe in your group. Maybe you have a lot of folks who've been working on an issue for a really long time in your area. Maybe you have folks in your group who have. I think if somebody could put themselves on mute there. Let me see. I think we got a little background noise. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a long walk if you're walking.
Hi, somebody. Somebody's talking on the line.
Yes.
Let me see here.
Probably about 9 o'clock.
I'm gonna try,
okay.
this is just...
Hold on a second.
And I was,
okay. Sorry. I just figured out how to mute them. My apologies. So anyway, so... yeah, so depending on who's in your group, maybe you have people in your group who've been working on this issue for a long time, maybe they already have a lot of connections, maybe they actually experience some of the issues that you're working on. If friends of color in your group who experience racism themselves, and so they have the experiential knowledge as well as some activism knowledge, and so that's going to kind of determine your relationship to the organization that you're accompanying, and it's going to be back and forth. It's really about, like I said, about building relationships, so it's going to be about building relationships within your group. And it's going to be about building relationships with an organization you're accompanying, whether that's AFSC or a similar organization working on the issue that you are focusing on. And so that's really what it's about. It's about honoring who's in the room in your small group, and it's about honoring those that are most impacted, have the most knowledge and experience. One of the quotes that we like to say is by the founder of Just Leadership, USA, Glenn Martin, he says those are closest to the problem are also closest to the solution. And so that's really a big part of how we try to do Quaker Social Change Ministry. Is there anything you want to add to that, Lucy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that quote is really important. And also just that we often think of Greg spoke about this a little bit, that of activism as arising from our own leading. And one thing that we've found as a very powerful thing is that listening to and being guided by the people that are, as you said, closest to the problem, that are really impacted, that are really feeling it, when you may not be, it shifts the whole thing. It shifts your sort of sense of faithfulness and of and there's something deeply humble and also incredibly powerful about sort of stepping back and really listening to the people that should be leading the movement. So, I mean, just like in Standing Rock right now, that's led by tribes, it's led by, people whose land has been decimated for a long time, and this is one more incident of that, and they're very motivated by standing in the way of that. It doesn't mean that other people aren't coming. Black Lives Matter and other people are coming to support them, but it's very important that that movement be led by them. And so I think that it kind of shifts our head, and it also releases some energy because it's not, we don't have to spend all of this energy trying to figure out, well, what do we do? We go and we ask the people who are most directly impacted by the issue and follow their lead. And that can look in a lot of different ways. So AFSC just endorsed the vision for Black Lives of the Black Lives Matter movement. We're actually going to be inviting and encouraging all Quaker meetings and all yearly meetings to follow to do that as well, to endorse that. So it can look at different ways. We think that this model is really relationship based, and we're encouraging people to be standing side by side with the people that you're trying to who know the most about the issue, and working with them because it's about a lot of this underneath a lot of this is about restoring right relationship with one another as we practice these spiritual practices and with and across the community. So that's really a foundational part of what we're trying to do, to create a sense of beloved community, to create a sense of the weaving together of the fabric of the alternatives that we're really trying to see in the world.
Yes, that's right. I'm so glad you mentioned the beloved community, Lucy, because that is definitely also very central to the model, is that it's really about, as Lucy said, trying to create right relationship and really trying to, as I say, be the change we wish to see. And to really bridge these gaps. You know, I think for a lot of Quaker meetings, I think a lot of folks don't feel as connected to a lot of the movements that are going on around them or the communities that are going on around them that are directly experiencing, systemic injustice. And this is definitely a way to bridge those gaps and to build relationships and to get some skin in the game, as they say.
I'm sorry, may I interject? I mean, what you're referring to, of course, is what we've known forever. We are very, very white. We are very, very middle class. We, I don't see how, I would be glad to learn, but I don't see how something you call a model. Model sounds like sociology class to me. How do you take a model that would eradicate or tend to diminish those two very salient facts?
May I respond as a person of color?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Regina Renee in Denver, and so far this call has made me very, very happy. Yes, the majority of friends are white and middle class, but when I hear statements like that, and I hear it a lot in meetings, sometimes that comes across as we're white and middle class, so what can we do? There are people of color in your meeting. If it's not your monthly meeting, it's your yearly meeting. There are people of color that you can reach out to. There are friends of color who gather together. And so, yes, the model, I'm loving the structure, especially starting with the covenant. Having something like this would make me, as a friend of color, participate more. There are so many things I don't participate in with friends because it seems like, oh, well, we're here to help those people and bring something to them. But this is like you're joining together. Mm-hmm. And you're letting the people who are directly involved and directly impacted take the lead. And I think that's what makes this different.
That's exactly right.
Thank
Can't
you,
put it any better
okay.
than that. Thank
yeah.
you. To a T, as they say. Lucy, is there anything you want to add?
No, I think that's right. The reason we call it a model is not, I mean, I hear that thing that, you know, it's a way. It's a way to do it. And the reason that we call it that, you know, and that there's a limitation in that term is because it's kind of a frame for doing the work. And the content of what you actually do arises from, you know, the organizations led by people most impacted. So it's not a you should do X, Y, and Z. It's a way. It's a way of doing it. It's a very big paradigm shift, I think, in terms of some of our impulses as a community predominantly of middle class white people. It's a very different way of doing it. And it reclaims both spirit and humility, and what we've learned in the pilot year is it's really energized the groups, many of the groups that have been using it. So, do you want to add anything, Greg?
Oh, no, go ahead, Lucy.
So I was going to go on to, you know, we'll have more time for questions and answers in just a minute because we're almost done with what we were going to prepare to say. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the time frame for enrolling the next groups. So as Greg said, is that we're really interested in meetings that are near AFSC offices, and many AFSC staff have told us that they're very, very excited about deepening their relationship with the Quaker meetings using this framework and this model. And so we have people ready, the AFSC program staff ready to partner with you. If you're not in a city with an AFSC office, we're still going to be doing a cohort for people who aren't, and we're going to figure out exactly how that will work, but we are going to be doing that as well. So and supporting you in finding an organization in the context that you're in. So the time frame is, unfortunately, Greg is leaving AFSC to follow a spiritual reading of his own. So he's leaving next Friday. It's his last day. So we're in the process of finding a new Friends Relations Associate. And In this interim time, we will still be accepting information from meetings that and Quaker churches that want to be a part of the model. And what we're going to do is, it takes a while to get started. And so what we'll do is give you some support in how you have this conversation. How do you start to form a group? What kind of things might you do to get yourselves ready, to really be ready to gel as a group and to start work with AFSC office or with an organization by January? And so we'll be providing some opportunities for that. We found that, and oftentimes those groups who have done racial justice work together, that have studied that and learned that about that and intentionally had those conversations, often, you know, that those groups are more ready to sort of accept this model and move forward with it. So we have materials for that. We have a curriculum. We have other things that can be done with that. But we can guide you in the next those meetings and churches that want to be a part of this. We can guide you in getting yourselves ready. And then in January is when we hope to start the more intentional ongoing calls and support that will exist with the new Friends Relations Associate in that role. I think that's really the plan. I think Greg can tell you a little bit more maybe about how to get ready.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I mean, I think you know, one of the things I am very excited for the future of Quaker Social Change Ministry. I'm excited for the next person to have this position. I know we have a lot of great candidates, I think one of the things that I will definitely be doing, you know, during this last little bit here, anyone on this call that is really interested in pursuing this, you can just email me directly, or you can go to, and I'll send this email out, I'll send this out to everyone who RSVP'd on the website, on the SALSA page. If you didn't RSVP, please either email me you can still log in after the call, actually. You can still RSVP. So I'll send an email out with this link, but it's afsc.org/QSCM. And on that page, you're going to find a lot of materials, and you're also going to find a link to an interest form. And if you fill out that interest form in the next week, I'll be happy to get in touch with you. And basically the way I think this model works best, as Lucy said, you know, folks that are already in some kind of, you know, study group together on racial justice issues or, you know, have some kind of relationship is always great. And if you're just getting started, this is a great opportunity because you have this fall and early winter to start to build those relationships, start to do some learning. And in Friends Relations, we have materials, we have curricula, we have different things that you can do to start that process now so that then you'll be ready to you know, really begin to work together as a group later this winter. But we do want to leave some time for questions. I see it's already 9:17, so we have about 15 minutes. And we have just like a prompt question that, you know, we thought might be useful as a way to get started, but feel free to ask any question that you'd like. When you ask a question, you could just say your name and monthly meeting, and just try to keep your question brief enough so we can get to a few. And the question we have for you is, what challenges or what issues are you facing that might, you know, as you think about starting a QSCM group in your own meeting in church, what, you know, what kind of different things are you facing from where you stand in trying to get that going? Are there any challenges or any things you're not sure of? But also feel free to ask any question that you'd like. So please, whoever would like to ask a question, you can just unmute yourself and go for it.
This is Kathy French from Pima Meeting. And the difficulty that I foresee is that it takes a meeting so long to make their mind up to do something like this. does the whole meeting have to agree on it, or could it be a subcommittee like Peace and Social Concerns or M&O?
That's a great question. So the answer is that yes. In fact, one of the reasons that we are excited about Quaker Social Change Ministry is that it is a way for smaller groups of people within the meeting. You know, as I think everyone on the phone knows, you know, Quaker meeting size can range from, you know, 5 people to 100. And so depending on your meeting size, if you're somewhere in between there and your meeting has enough folks that where, you know, a small group is really clear, you know, these, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, we really want to work on mass incarceration. We really want to work on immigrant rights. We really want to work on these things. Or, you know, this is a way where you to kind of release that energy so that you can get started without having your whole meeting have to, you know, be a part of it or whatever. And then people will join. We do recommend that you, you know, obviously let your whole meeting know. You know, it's helpful to have the blessing of your Peace and Social Concerns Committee, let them know what you're up to. But this is definitely a way to try to, like, you know, get moving a bit faster than sometimes, you know, it can take a while for a whole meeting to get behind something. But I think what we found is it, you know, at least in the pilot year, is that, you know, meetings are definitely very excited to release, you know, a smaller group of friends who really want to work on something, and then that can influence the whole meeting, the work of that little group. So, Lucy, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, just that it's, you know, it's nice to have the blessing of the meeting, and it's a way to sort of, as Greg says, just to get started. So you don't have, but you don't have to wait for a minute on a concern in order to start. I mean, in fact, we would recommend you not do that, that you find, like, you know, people who are interested in trying this out and figuring out what issue you want to work on and what organization, if not AFSC's local program work, and just trying it out. And that's what was really beautiful about the pilot year is it's not theoretical. You don't think about it forever. You try it out. And it may be that you have some preparatory conversations. One of the things I wanted to say was that the manual, which is a beautiful thing that Greg has really built out, is there, and you can use it, and you can think about it. There's exercises in it. Even if you play with some of that stuff before January. There's things that you can really dive into and delve into with your group as you're getting ready to have a more intentional and more supported experience in January. But you can really use that to sort of say, okay, what is this thing, and is this how do we do it? What do we think about it? So yes, we encourage you to gather your group and not wait for the whole meeting to decide this is what you want to do.
Thank you.
Great. Another question, a comment.
I have a question also from Pima meeting, Cheryl Diamond. So in our meeting, I would say there are 4 or 5 different areas that people are very devoted to in terms of social action. Is the idea with the Quaker Social Action model that it be related to just one of those, or can people come together who are really working on four or five different areas?
Great. Lucy, you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, I'll try it. So, ideally, you would maybe have a Quaker Social Change Ministry working on each of those issues, and it creates a container that's possible for that. You know, like 4 or 5 people is all you need, and then they can really focus, you know, together. But let me go on. But in Denver, what the group that we saw there, they were working on different things, but they came together to reflect together. So there were different groups. There was one working on a group working on environmental justice. There was a group working on immigrant rights, I can't remember the other ones, but they came together and used the spiritual practice model to reflect together. So it's not, we think that it's probably a more powerful model when you're focused on one issue together, but it can work in this other way. And one of the groups that was on the pilot, I think Central Philadelphia monthly meeting, was more like that. They were doing different things, and they used the spiritual basis, the spiritual reflection time, as a way to come together and get connected. So, so that's what I would say. It's not sort of both and, but if you have enough people to work on, to form groups around the different issues, that's probably what we would recommend. But you can also do it the other way.
You mean have four separate social change groups?
Right, that are working on the issues that they care about more intentionally in a more focused way. That's what we would, that's what we would recommend. But if that's not practical, then coming together for the reflection part, but keep having subgroups that are working on different things can work as well.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Great. Another question or comment?
May I just ask a follow-up question to that topic? I just now came up from Lake Forest. So I gather that four or five different areas, each area, if people are working, has a group that is multiple people working on one issue. It's not one person working on one issue, another person working on another issue.
We wouldn't recommend that because this is all about relationships, and that's kind of the model that we have. I mean, that's kind of the model that I see the most in meetings is, different people sort of atomistically working on different things and according to what they are passionate. And the piece of this that's very powerful is that you do it together, And so, I suppose that you could use the spiritual grounding part as a way to, sort of get yourselves at least in relationship, but I think that the vision, the original vision that that we've been working on in friends relations sort of from the beginning since 2011 is, what if we had 100 meetings or 100, small committed groups in meetings working on mass incarceration? What if we had, 50 groups, small groups working on immigrant rights, that what we could accomplish together. And certainly, we, FSC is an intersectional organization. We think these things are all connected, but just what would happen if we had that, because Quakers, when they get behind something, they tend to be really committed. And so that's kind of the vision, is to sort of set us up for that kind of spiritual and activist power as a community.
Do you have something like a minimum size of a group that can work on something issue that sort of has enough sort of energy as a group to carry each other moving forward?
Greg can probably pick that one, I think.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, as Lucy said, I mean, I think probably group size could go down to as small as four. I think four would probably be, pretty small. It seems like in the pilot year, a lot of the groups tended to be, six or seven really diehard people, and then, other folks kind of maybe being a little bit less involved. We recommend the folks, basically somewhere between the 5 and 12 range. If you get much bigger than 12, we recommend maybe splitting into two different groups. One of the things I also want to say, too, is that, this isn't meant to be the sum total of your social justice work or, we don't suppose that. I mean, in fact, we encourage groups to meet regularly once a month, because we know a lot of folks are really busy. Once every 2 weeks is fantastic. If you all have the time and space and energy to do that, that's great. But, you know, that's the other thing, too, is that this is a kind of special container to channel work to focus on a particular issue. And so, you know, folks can also be working on other things at the same time. I have a question
about the spiritual practice. Is that kind of rotated among the people that is that
That's
can
right.
I get this one, Greg? Yes, it's rotated among.
Okay.
And one of the things that's a foundational principle to these practices is that you share the work. even in Quaker meetings, that's really the principle underneath our process and about our community.
Right.
But sometimes some people tend to do a lot more than others. And this one has a real intentionality about sharing the load, sharing who brings a spiritual practice, rotating that kind of those kind of tasks, and it's like embedded in this whole thing that you that we carry this together, and that's a really important piece.
This is Bridget who asked that question from Houston. I kind of knew that. I just was kind of bringing that just to emphasize that. But also, I have a question: could it be a way to kind of if there's people who are kind of interested in a whole lot of things and they don't really know where they're going to focus and to maybe look around the community and see what organization, like if we don't have an AFSC office nearby, to kind of look around the community and see what communities are already organized and if it at all gels and then guide what the group decides to focus to build that relationship. That's exactly right, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways that the focus can you know, be determined. You know, maybe, you know, if you're just one person in your meeting and you have a concern and you want to try to gather a group together, that's great. You know, if you're a small group of people and you want to go the route you just said, where you kind of look around and say, all right, you know, we really have a concern and we want to see where the most energy is, where we feel like we could be most useful, and really build those relationships. And sometimes you're already working together. You know, there were multiple groups in the pilot year that already had a group, were already working on something, and then they, you know, sort of, you know, had renewed focus or reinvigorated through the Quaker Social Change Ministry. So. Well, it looks like we're out of time this evening. It's been so great having everybody on this call. I feel like we could go for another hour if we really wanted to. Lucy, is there any final thoughts you want to share?
And to follow up on that, like the there's a real opportunity if you don't know the concern to really get to know your community, you know, as you go through this, and we can help guide you through that process. One last thing, I'm really excited to hear the energy and all of you on the call, and I look forward and that there are so many people from different parts of the country, and I look forward to working with you as in the next few months and through the year. And I also just wanted to mention that our next call will be, our next call for Spirit Action will be on the third Thursday night in October, and that call will be focused on the vision for Black Lives and the call from AFSC to invite Quaker Monthly and yearly meetings to sign on to that platform and to sort of really look at that and engage with it and think about it. So,
before we close, obviously you all have invested enormous amount in of thought and worship in this. For those of us who are having a little trouble following you, what would you suggest we read or consult?
Yes,
so,
well, Okay, well, I was just going to say if you RSVP'd to the invite, if you signed up on the web, if you submitted your email address, I'm going to send everyone an email with the information where you can find it on the web. If you can remember, if you can write down right now, afsc.org/QSCM.
Would you repeat that? Q-U what?
Q-S-C-M. S as in Sam.
S as in
C as in coconut, and M as in mango. QSCM. I guess I have tropical fruits on the mind. QSTM. So that's where you can find it on the web. And of course, you can always email us at friends@afsc.org.
Friends@afsc.org. And on that page, there's an introduction that's two pages. That's a really brief introduction that you can share and look at. That's, I think, really well written that Greg wrote. And then there's the whole manual, which is you know, much bigger. But both of those will give you a really good idea about more details about what we're talking about.
Great.
Well, thank you, Greg, in your new journey.
Thank you.
This is his last call for Spirited Action. He's done such a great job. I'm so sad that he's leaving. And
We will hold you in the light.
Thank you. And I will be holding you, and I'll be working in solidarity with you as I continue to follow Spirit. So thank you all. And thank you for calling in tonight.